This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you on the Homeschool Father of Five, also a pastor of a church out here on Eastern Plains, Colorado. Steve Vaughn in studio with me right now. And we like to come back to the subjects of family, church, and state, which, by the way, for the millennial generation, we treated this last week with Bill Jack. The millennial generation has less appreciation for children, less appreciation for church, and less appreciation for patriotism.
Yeah.
So those three values down, up, selfishness, a tolerance, and something else. Oh, work. I think those are the three things that are still something of a value for millennials. So we broadcast on values that are important to God because family, church, and state were all institutions established by God himself. And so therefore, we understand these things to be important and helpful. And these we would consider to be values. We would consider these to be good things. Why? Because God created the family, the church, and the state. Now, it turns out the church is even less important to professing Christians. Listen to Lifeway Research found that 65% of Protestant churchgoers say they can walk with God without other believers. That's 65% say, I don't need other believers in my Christian walk.
Wow.
That's 65%. And these are Protestant churchgoers. So they're already going to church. They just say, I don't need the church.
So,
only 9% strongly disagreed with the statement, and they felt the church community was important.
So with these 65%, are they essentially saying they don't need any accountability as well? Is that part of it?
Well, I think that's the case, yes. You know, it's like Don Williams. Remember the song? I Believe in You. I call it the Don Williams worldview.
Yeah.
Don Williams was a big country singer in the 1980s, 1990s. How many of you remember Don Williams?
Sort of.
Okay, just that so half a guy. Idea. Half a guy in the studio. We don't have a large studio audience. But Don Williams wrote this song and performed this song. I think it was his big song. And so I call it the Don Williams worldview. And it really represents so much of the American way of thinking. Listen to it. I don't believe that heaven waits for only those who congregate. I like to think that God is love. He's down below. He's up above.
Oh, wow.
I like to think of God.
Yeah.
Now, whenever someone says, I like to think
yes.
that God is love, when you think, I like to think that God is love, what are you thinking, Steve, when he says, I like to think of God as love?
I'm thinking a lot of things. First of all, that he's setting up an idol, essentially, because when I like to think of God as something, you're cutting out everything else. I mean, he's not just love. He's every other attribute that he is, even the ones that we don't know about.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, this is America.
Yeah.
Isn't this American heartland? This is American religion. American religion says, I don't like to hear the preaching of God's word, especially if the preacher is going to preach some aspect of God that I don't like, or some aspect of God's law that I don't like. I want a God that I've configured in my own mind. Sadly, that's the way so much of American Christianity is today. Hebrews 3:13 also, you know, this instructs us. And Hebrews is very, very strong on warning us concerning apostasy. Hebrews 3, Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10, Hebrews 12. Throughout the entire book of Hebrews, you have these constant warnings about apostasy, which is, of course, important in an age in which Don Williams is singing his country songs and an age in which evangelicalism is falling off the map. Hebrews 3:13 encourages us to exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see where it says you got to exhort each other, you got to be warning each other, you got to be stirring each other up to love and good works. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So here, Hebrews 10:23, also let's hold fast that confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir one another up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. So what is this? But a constant warning that, hey, we need to exhort each other because we could risk hardening our hearts through the deceitfulness of sin. We could risk sinning willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, and thereafter there remains no longer a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. What does this mean, Steve? I think this means isolating ourselves from the church, isolating ourselves from the regular exhortation from our brothers and sisters, from assembling ourselves together. Isolating ourselves becomes a means to apostasy. You subject yourself to the hardening of the heart and apostasy. What happens when you isolate yourself? I think the devil jumps all over that. And there inevitably follows a hardening of heart. Now, I've noticed as people isolate themselves from the church, oftentimes kind of this weirdness follows over them.
Yeah.
They become these, you know, prophets that determine truth for themselves. Yeah. They don't subject themselves, they don't submit themselves to one another in the fear of God. That doesn't happen.
Right.
And so they become these American anarchists that come up with their own interpretations of Scripture, and before you know it, they're flat earthers, or they're sacrificing grasshoppers on some kind of altar in the backyard to some false god. Maybe it's not quite that weird, but
yeah.
You get this weirdness that develops. They develop conspiracy theories that are the weirdest you've ever heard in your life. They isolate themselves from the fellowship of the saints, and weirdness takes over. You know, we are to be a body. 1 Corinthians 12 says we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. And Ephesians 4 reminds us that we grow up, we are sanctified, we are matured together as a body while every joint is supplying some aspect of our life. So the life of the body occurs in the body. You know, I was talking about Mr. Potato Head. You know, so much of American Christians think of themselves as Mr. Potato Head. The body is like Mr. Potato Head after your two-year-old has pulled all the ears off and all the eyes out, the legs off, and you have pieces laying all over the living room. That's your typical church today.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Oh, yeah.
You just don't have anything of a unity that's developed. And I think people don't understand that this is apostasy. This is American apostasy. Now, if you... Our buddy Chad Roach talked about this last night. We got together in a fellowship, and we were talking about the importance of the body. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Now, not Mr. Potato Head, that's just plastic. But if you cut off a human ear, what happens to the ear after, say, 48 hours? You're a nurse.
Oh, yeah.
You understand this.
Yeah. Yeah, after you've severed it from life and the blood, which has the life in the blood to it, it's going to start to shrivel up and it's going to start to become malformed and disintegrate, and it'll eventually just not even much be there anymore.
And that's what happens to so many American Christians. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Steve Vaughn, also in studio today. And looking at interesting stats, the first concerning Lifeway's reference to 65% of Protestant churchgoers say they just don't need other believers for their walk with God. So this individualism of Americanism results in the American apostasy, which is ongoing right now. But, you know, Gallup has also come out with a really interesting survey concerning America's trust in clergy. So at the same time that Americans don't see a need for the body or the church, America's trust in clergy has slipped significantly in the last 15 years. In fact, in terms of all of the social indices included in this Gallup report, this particular factor of America's trust in clergy is the largest shift in the American social structure. This is it. This is the largest shift in the last 15 years. Since 2000, positive views of the honesty and ethics of clergy for Americans has dropped, get this, from 64% all the way down to 37%.
Wow, that's almost half.
I know. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, respect for journalists actually ticked up 10%.
Oh, I'm surprised at that.
So yeah, all the false news and stuff is apparently kicking in now.
Alrighty.
People are trusting the false news more than ever. And by the way, those surveyed view doctors, nurses, and high school teachers as about twice as trustworthy as pastors.
Alrighty. I'm a nurse.
Yeah, you're doing better than pastors.
I'm doing better than you are.
By twice.
Right.
folks are trusting Steve twice as much as they trust Kevin Swanson, and that's all right.
Yeah. You should let me speak more.
I should. In fact, Steve, why don't you be the host?
Alrighty.
Okay.
That's it.
Steve is the host.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The last 10 years truly has been brutal on the church.
And I could see why. I mean, you see the apostasy in the church and the pastors, and, you know, it just is crazy. But judgment has begun with the house of God.
Well, you know, beginning with Ted Haggard.
Yeah.
And the homosexual scandal of New Life Church in Colorado Springs. That was 2006. Remember
that? Wow. Yes, I do.
It was huge. And it was huge because New Life Church and Ted Haggard was the mecca of American evangelicalism.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that indeed was the swan song. That was the end of it. Ted Haggard was the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. And the pastor of this mega church, New Life Church in Colorado Springs in 2006. So really you had the mecca of the meccas of modern cheesy evangelicalism collapse back in 2006. I mean, you could not get more mecca than Ted Haggard. In 2006, with maybe the exception of Bill Hybels.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he came down too.
Yes, he did.
But then you had the suicide of Voice of the Martyrs director Tom White. That was April 20th, 2012. That was 7 years ago. Then the big homeschooling scandal that broke in November of 2013. That was about 6 years ago. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
And I think pretty much all of the church growth gurus of the 1990s have fallen now. Is anybody still... You know, Ted Haggard's down. James McDonald just fell. Bill Hybels came down. Is there anybody left?
Warren?
Rick Warren. Okay.
Yeah, he's still
okay,
around.
He got
okay.
one. Okay. All right. Got one.
Yeah, there's one.
Pretty sad.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad. Well, this is where things are, my friends. On the one hand, the publicity has been, I think, perhaps a little bit exaggerated. But on the other hand, maybe not exaggerated because the church needs to be the exemplar. And granted, you know, it's sad that high school teachers are twice as trustworthy as pastors because, according to Hofstra University researcher Carol Shakeshaft, she's explored the sexual abuse in high schools. And the physical sexual abuse of students in schools is 100 times the abuse of what goes on in the churches. It's 100 times worse in the schools. So people are trusting the high school teachers, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The National Catholic Register's reporter points out that the federal report has said 422,000 California public school students are victims of sexual abuse before graduation, and that number dwarfs the state's entire Catholic school enrollment of 143,000. But the fact of the matter is, friends, that pastors have come upon hard times. I'm not sure I want to tell anybody I pastor a church anymore.
Yeah, but again, it's that I would think that the pastors of the small churches are the ones that, you know, if you have a good, strong church, you know, where I go now, I mean, I trust the pastor. And so, and it's actually a growing church. People obviously are trusting Pastor Murphy, and I trust you for the most part.
One of the things I would add is it's helpful that we not put a pastor on a pedestal, but that there be a healthy eldership in the church.
And that's one thing that both our churches have.
That's really critical. That is really critical. I think people need to understand that the biblical approach to a church is elders plural.
Yes.
Paul says to ordain elders in the churches. He writes to the elders and deacons, plural, in the church of Philippi in Philippians 1:1. So yes, I think the first and foremost, we can't have pastors on pedestals, and pastors need to be just another vote on a board of elders. So that helps. We've talked about that already on the program. But here's one more thing. Pastors have two problems. There are pastors who don't walk the truth, and they scandalize the church and the pastorate. So there are pastors who don't walk the truth. They scandalize the church and the pastor, and people don't like them. But then there are also pastors that do walk the truth, preach the truth, and people don't like them either.
So you get it both ways.
Yeah, you're condemned if you do or condemned if you don't
by
the world around us. So I can understand why pastors are the most unpopular people in America today. I can get that. There are pastors who speak the truth, and they won't exempt homosexuals from the life-transforming, powerful grace of God. But there are also pastors that have proven themselves to be hypocrites. And they're not liked either.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
If you have a choice, speak the truth. And speak the truth.
Well, I think as pastors, we just need to continue to speak the truth, call men and women to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, present the gospel, the mighty gospel of Jesus, that presents a salvation for our sins. Indeed, Jesus Christ died on the cross to overcome sin and death for us. And we are called to trust in him. And he gives us that power to rise up and walk in newness of life. And we need to keep presenting that. And nobody gets to be exempted from the life-transforming, powerful grace of God. I think that's the major message for the day. That if you're a homosexual and you say, now, wait a minute, the grace of God is not enough for me to change my identity or my orientation, my answer is going to be, I'm sorry, but you're not exempted from the grace of God. You're not exempted from the powerful blood of Jesus that was shed on that cross to give us that new life and to enable us to walk in newness of life, and such that we could say, such were some of you. You used to be homosexuals. You used to be fornicators, but you've been washed, you've been cleansed, and you've been made new by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That powerful message must never be minimized or marginalized in our churches. We need to every week present the powerful, life-cleansing, life-transforming, powerful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to that cross to give us a new life so that we could rise up and walk in newness of life, such that we would be justified, that we'd be sanctified, that we could walk with him as new creatures in Christ. Friends, that happens. It happens to drug addicts. It's happening for homosexuals. It's happening for fornicators. It happens for liars. It happens for every form of sinner out there. You're addicted to pornography. I don't care. I don't care what the addiction is. Jesus Christ is able to set you free by the work that he did on the cross. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. I'd encourage you to our Bible study guides in the book of Matthew, the book of Proverbs, the book of Psalms, the book of Genesis. These Bible study guides are there for families to just bring out the Word of God and to root and ground your kids in God's Word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. If there's anything I think we need, Steve, in the present day is a daily exhortation in the home, a daily exhortation through the churches. If there's anything the churches need, it's just a more of an intensive Bible study and prayer groups and family worship. If we just intensify what we're doing, I think we're going to see that there's going to be a lot more of our young millennial kids discipled in God's Word. So we just provide some of the resources to make that happen. But friends, I just encourage you to stay in the Word on a daily basis. Exhort one another daily, so long as it's called today. May that be in your families. May that be happening in your churches. Exhort one another, lest any of you be hardened with the deceitfulness of sin. That wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson. And inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.